And grateful because today a friend of mine is here to share his testimony of how Jesus entered into his life and has saved and transformed him. And so if you guys could give a warm PBC welcome to my friend Josh Hershaw, who's coming all the way up from Starbucks, Washington today to share. It's on, yeah. Yeah. Hey, Abel, can you? I did notice. Mine's a little hot. Yeah. It's okay. All right. You're good. Can I pray for you before you? Awesome. Yeah. Father, thank you for bringing Josh here today. Thank you for the way that you have touched his life and worked in him. And I have just really enjoyed personally getting to know him, his passion for you, his desire for all people to have a deep love for you and to walk with you and to desire the things of Jesus as they live this life. I pray, Lord, that as you are sharing, or as he is sharing your story through his life, that you would just shine gloriously through the details that he shares of himself and through the details he shares of how you have entered into him and how he now lives with Christ on high. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Josh was asking me if he should stay on stage for a moment longer. I said, wherever you want to be. He said, I want to be there. So it can be challenging to be up here when Josh is sharing. I remember one of the first times I had to share in a room about this size, and I was freaking out. I was pacing the hallway outside of the room and praying, and then all of a sudden I realized that my shirt was going. There was no bird in there. It was just my heart was just beating so rapidly over the experience that I was afraid of in just a moment. So Josh, thank you for sharing. I know that it can be intimidating to share with a room that feels big, but I appreciated hearing pieces of your life that I hadn't heard about yet personally, and even more importantly, hearing about how Jesus has worked in your life. So Josh, thank you for sharing. I actually didn't know Josh's story before getting to know Josh as just a part of Starbucks and Starbucks Community Church. And one of the things that blew me away about Josh is that here's this guy who's been given a full medical retirement from his military career, which means that he's provided for every month, and he actually isn't allowed to work. They won't let him work, or let me rephrase that. He's not allowed to get paid, right, for work that he does. And rather than going, sweet, I can play poker and video games and drink beer all day long to my heart's content, which he realized doesn't make his heart content, he decided, I'm going to serve people. I want to turn my life towards helping other people know this God who's done so much work in me. And so I got to know that side of Josh, and then learning his testimony, realized that that's the work that God did in his life, and he's seeking to let God complete that, right? Doesn't Philippians 1:6 say something like, the God who has started a good work in you will be faithful to complete it? I know that Josh gets really uncomfortable because he sees his life as a work in process, right? He looks in the mirror and he sees what Jesus has done, and yet he sees all of these failures and these character weaknesses and these sins that keep coming up in his life. And so that's scary. Anybody else? Can you relate to that? I know I can. And yet he is just faithfully seeking the Lord every day. And I'm excited about Josh's ministry in Starbucks. The Lord is already opening up opportunities for he and Caitlin to have Bible studies with not churchies, right? He called us churchies. But let's be honest, we have our own culture within the church. We have our own language. We use words that other people don't. When do you talk with the cash register person and they say, I am on break in 5 minutes, praise God? You know, that's like, that seems weird in the world, but that's how we tend to think. And so Josh has been equipped by the Lord for ministry to people who aren't churchy, who actually get scared by churchiness. And so it's a beautiful thing for God to call someone out of one way of life and then to take them back to reach those same people, right? And that can be a challenging thing. A lot of times when we leave difficult areas of our life, we want to run away and never go back. I never want to talk to people like that again. I never want to see the things that I once saw. But Josh realizes that his life is uniquely equipped to reach those folks. Can we take a moment and pray for Josh and his future ministry? Father, thank you for Josh. Thank you for saving him. I love, Father, that he sees that he was seeking something to make him feel whole and full and satisfied in this world, and yet none of it did. And then one day, through a friend praying for him, he began to sense the satisfaction that is available through your son, Jesus. And then he eventually pursued that and said, nothing but you will satisfy me. and you have been teaching him that satisfaction since then. Father, I pray that you would be anointing Josh with incredible joy and love as he goes to serve, that the people that he and Caitlin are teaching and reaching would have a sense of your perfect love in their lives towards them. I know that often ministry to addicts and people who have come from extremely broken backgrounds includes correction and reproof and repetition of those things. Give Josh and Caitlin patient endurance. Help them to be able to correct in love. And Father, as he walks in a way with Christ, would you use him to teach a new way of life to those who are seeking wholeness as they walk with him? And Father, I know that Josh cannot build this ministry alone. He has this vision, and he doesn't know how it's going to be accomplished outside of you, and it won't be. And so will you provide for him the means of this ministry, places to house people as they come, opportunities to serve and work? Would you protect those who are coming in from relapse and giving into the temptations of their flesh as they are going to be tempted over and over again as he was to walk away and to return to broken cisterns that never satisfy? We pray these things in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. All right, we're going to have a really brief time in the Word together today, so if you have your Bibles, please open them up to Matthew 11, and then for extra credit, if you're really amazing, you can get ready either to flip over digitally or physically to Ephesians chapter 4. Again, that's Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll tell you where to go in just a minute with that, but we're going to be in Matthew 11, and we're going to read 28 and 29 and 30. And then we're going to talk about a new yoke that Jesus is offering us. So Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says this, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Wow. And we've talked about how that's an incredible invitation. And last week, we talked about how Jesus is a new sort of teacher. And that was encouraging to me. And I've been kind of marinating, meditating all week on what kind of a teacher Jesus is, what his voice is like in my life, how he is inviting me into this new sort of living and inviting you into a new sort of living under a new yoke that is easy and light. Now, how many of you find that idea a little bit challenging? It's okay to be honest about this. I know that I do. In fact, a friend texted me this week. He said, "I so appreciate what you've been teaching me, but the first time I heard a sermon about this passage, I wrote this in my margin in the Bibles." And it said, "If Jesus says it's so easy, how come my life is so hard?" And then he said, "And I still feel that way a lot of days." Anybody else? Can you embrace that idea? I know that Jesus, you say your burden is easy and your yoke is light. How come I feel this intensely sorrowful or hurt or angry right now? Or how come I don't have solutions to the problems that I'm facing in real time? It's because we're learning the way, right? We're learning the way. And so today we're going to talk about what this yoke is. See, often we hear this concept of rest and we say, "I want the rest that Jesus is going to provide." But we don't recognize that that rest is in the way that we work, in the way that we walk in this world. And so Jesus is teaching us a new yoke, a new way of working in the world. Now, I don't know if you know this, but every human is called to work, actually created to work. Remember when God made Adam and Eve? What did he do with them? He set them in the garden, a perfect place. And what did he do? He told them to work, be fruitful, and multiply. They were to tend to the garden, to expand the kingdom of God. They weren't just to have babies, right? That be fruitful and multiply, it often gets preached at weddings, right? Your job is to have lots of babies. That's not what fruitfulness and multiplication is about. Because what happens, I mean, how many of you are going to have more babies, right? Yeah, that's not what's happening in this room. So is there fruitfulness and multiplication for you? Is there work in your life that God has still called you to do? Absolutely. What about teenagers? You know, do we really want to be telling teenagers that the work of God is to be fruitful and multiply by having babies? No, not at all. So this fruitfulness and this multiplication has to be something that is very different.
that God wants to be working in your life so that your work is fruitful, so that it's not just adding a little bit of goodness to life at a time, but so that the goodness of God is being multiplied towards you, with you, and through you into this world. Now, that doesn't mean that life is always going to be pumpkin pie after Thanksgiving dinner, right? There's going to be difficulty. You have to make the pie. I mean, unless if you have a Costco card. But it turns out there's not a spiritual Costco card to get you there quickly. And so Jesus wants to teach you to have a new yoke, because this new way of life is found in learning the new yoke. And so I want to talk about that briefly with you from Ephesians chapter 4. So if you could flip over so kindly to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 through 24. It's Ephesians 4, verse 20 through 24. Paul is writing to the Ephesians church, and if you've never read the book of Ephesians, it's an incredibly encouraging letter to a church that is thriving and growing in the Lord, and he encourages them and admonishes them to keep growing in this Jesus in whom they've placed their faith and with whom they are falling in love. So Paul writes this. He says, "That is not how you came to know Christ, assuming you heard about him and were taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. To take off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness, in righteousness and in purity of the truth." And so this is Paul inviting you into that new yoke, that new way of life that Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 11. So in order to put on the new yoke, what is the first thing that Paul talks about you needing to do? He says, you didn't learn Jesus in that way. And just before this, he talked about how we live without Jesus. Josh talked a little bit about how we live without Jesus. And each of us has our own way of being without Jesus. We learned it from our families. We learned it from our friends. We learned it from the television or the world around us. We were taught the best way to live life. And sometimes that way of living leads us to be massively successful, right? So like Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates, they're walking in a yoke that was given to them, a way of life, and it just happened to produce billions for them. And then there are other people like Josh and others that I know who have been a part of this church family that their way of life leads them to deep poverty and brokenness, even if the bank account is full. And sometimes our yoke actually leaves us to be broke financially but whole emotionally. It's your pattern of life and the fruit of that pattern of life, how it is produced. But Paul is saying, and Jesus is inviting you to live a new way. And so Paul says, you've got to take off the old way of life in verse 22. You've got to remove it. You've got to take it away from yourself. The verse is not like a casual thing, like I'm going to slip into something more comfortable. It's like the type of word that you were using to take out the trash. Have you ever had this happen where you walk in from being gone all day shopping or something, you enter into the kitchen, it's a little less than fresh in here. And so you're like, this smells like old garbage. And our garbage is under the kitchen cabinet. That's just how we are. So you open that door. Whoa, I got to get that out of here. That stinks. I don't want that in my life anymore. And so you take out that trash. You see, that old way, it may have led me to some good things, right? Like there's stuff in that trash that you wanted before. But now you're looking at it, you're going, ugh. I'm not going to eat those leftovers anymore. That's why they're in the trash. I threw that away yesterday. I need to get rid of this. And so there's like an expediency and a strong desire for you to take out that old way of life. But just so that we're really honest, sometimes that old way of life, even though we know it stinks, it's still appealing to us, right? It's not that it's just old leftovers. We're talking about who we used to be. Sometimes we're talking about things that we want to be still, and we're just barely convinced that it's not right or not healthy. And so when the Holy Spirit comes, we're like, I don't know if I really want to get rid of that yet. And so sometimes We act like instead of taking out the trash, what we're doing is we're just adding a little bit of Jesus and keeping that old stuff around still. Because that old stuff is part of making me uncomfortable and comfortable. And when it makes me uncomfortable, I want Jesus. But then when I feel better, it turns out that I still really want to be whatever, right? Defined by being a housewife or a sports fan or an excellent carpenter or handsome or funny or whatever it is. And then eventually we become tired of that again and we recognize that it's not working, or somebody reminds us and we go, oh yeah, that Jesus part of my life. And then we go kind of camp out in that Jesus mode again. And Paul is saying that doesn't work. It's not good. You can't have Jesus and fellowship with him and your old way of life. He's not saying you can't be saved. He's just saying it doesn't work to walk with Jesus like that. You're going to keep going back to those former things that harmed you, that your soul wasn't made to dwell in. So he says, throw those things away. But again, note how he describes those old things, that former way of life, your old self. And in verse 22, he says, that stuff is corrupted by deceitful desires. Now, that old way, it has hooks into you. It's like Velcro, and you're attracted to it in some ways. And so you, if you're going to take off this old way, you have to see the deceit that is present in those old ways. You have to see the ways that those old ways are alluring to you so that you can resist the temptation to eliminate, or to not eliminate, but to keep them around, to puff yourself up, to comfort yourself with them. I remember in 2009, I was praying and seeking God, and there was this piece of me that I would always come back to, this sorrow and this hurt. And I kept saying, Lord, what is this? I don't want to be walking in sorrow. I don't want to be walking in hurt. And so I started to, not to meditate on myself, but to say, God, I want you to search me. I want you to expose within me this part of me that is not your new way of living. And then one day I was praying, and the Lord said, you thrive on the praise of others. You want to please others. And when you do, you feel amazing. And when you don't, you feel terrible. He said, but the problem is that you're a relatively successful person. People are impressed by the work that they do, that you do. And you like the limelight. And so you receive frequent accolades and praise from people. And I said, man, that's horrible, God. I'm not being defined by who you say I am. I'm being defined by all of these other people. And that means as much as I say that you are my king, they are the king of my heart, because their words define me more than yours. That is not your way, Jesus. And so that very day, I said, I don't care what they say. That doesn't get to define me. And you know what? That was the worst feeling ever. I didn't walk away from that going, I am free. I walked away from that going, woe is me. Because I had anchored my boat to the opinions of others. And now I was floating freely on the emotional seas of Chris Garrison. And the waters were choppy in my soul. It felt horrible. And during that season of learning my identity in Christ, during that season of seeking this new way, putting on Christ every day, it was really alluring to go back. I didn't stop serving and loving people. I just didn't let the praises of those people tell me who I am. So I'm trying to give out God's love and to dwell in God's love. And yet all the time when I hear love from others, it's like sweet whispers. You are good. You're good enough. I think you're, thank you so much. You're so thoughtful. Oh, you're so wise. You guys know the praises that you get from other people. And it was like this sweet and horrible addiction to their kind words. And because I shut those things down, I actually personally entered into a really significant, serious depression and a season of depression. But God used that darkness to show me that the darkness within me is light to him. That he's not confused by the hellacious nature of my own emotional self. And maybe you don't have one of those natures within your emotional self, but I did. There was this real darkness inside. And he went inside and he showed me. He's like, hey, Just because your biological mom left when you were 6 months old doesn't mean that you are undesirable. Just because you wanted more love and affection than you received doesn't mean that you weren't loved. Just because you didn't sense my nearness to you doesn't mean that I wasn't. And he started to show me how he had used even the hard things in my life to prepare me to know his love and his goodness. And so the Lord and I spent a lot of time in his word learning what he says about who I am, learning what he says about what I am called to do. And I wouldn't trade that time now, because it was at that point in time that I learned to take away that old nature of me and to throw it away so that I could put on a new nature. And Paul says that we have to do that. We have to do that so that we can have this new thing. In verse 23, he says, you have to take off that old nature. You have to throw it away so that you can be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Now, this is what learning the new yoke is. It's to be spiritually renewed. Now, if you have put your faith in Jesus, God says a miracle has happened in your life. He says the old you is gone. And there's a new you in Jesus that has arrived and is coming more and more and more. He says it's like the dawn of your souls. Yeah, how many of you like sunrise? And I love sunrise. I just so enjoy being awake and seeing the world come alive. And one of the coolest things about an amazing sunrise is that it is so full of hope. I mean, the birds are out there, they're trumpeting the praises of God. Anybody have songbirds in their yard? It's amazing, and it's not even light out yet, but they're just singing, the light is coming, the light is coming, the Lord's day is arriving, right? And there's just this beautiful hope. And then, you know what happens? Their promise comes true, and the sun comes up, and it's amazing, right? Jesus is saying that same thing is true about you if you have put your faith in Jesus. And this verse right here is saying, man, dwell in the truth of Jesus. Learn this new way of living so that the sun can rise in your inner person, so that you can be transformed by the newness of the King of Glory. It's a picture of saying, you are new in Christ, and every day I want you to be renewed in Jesus. How many of you know a grumpy Christian? Okay, if that was yourself, you don't have to raise your hand about that, but you just have to just take a moment back. What in the world are Christians doing grumpy? Like, I don't know if you know, but your team wins. I don't know if you know, but the coach is a player, and he's got a secret. The Holy Spirit is going to empower your life to overcome the obstacles that you are facing right now. I don't know if you know this, but he says, I will never leave you and forsake you, even when you drop the ball in the end zone for the fourth time that day. And we're walking around grumpy. Why are we grumpy? Because the outside doesn't match the inside. Because sometimes the inside doesn't match what we hope for. And so we've stopped learning the new way. We've stopped being transformed by the dawn of our lives. And we're letting the darkness and the old way define us. God is inviting you into a process of spiritual renewal so that every day is a new day, so that every day the Lord's mercies are alive to you and with you and through you in the way that you live, in the way that you walk. That doesn't mean that Jesus is saying your life is going to be easy. It just means that the burden that he has laid on you in life, as you are faithful to walking through the seasons that he has called you to, is easy and light. Or as others say, are free and light. Jesus wants to free you from the oppressive yoke of this world, which is designed to crush you, right? Because what does the enemy want to do? He wants to steal, and he wants to kill, and he wants to destroy. And he has designed all yokes in the world aside from Jesus to do that to you. Whether they numb you up and march you off to destruction in your success in life without Jesus, or whether they wear you down slowly and break you down over time. And so Jesus is saying, take on my new way. Live in my hope. And I got to tell you, though, it's not always easy for me. Maybe it's always easy for you. But this week I have been wrestling with some real things that I want to see transformed in our church and in my own life. And I have realized that I have been carrying the burdens of these things for probably longer than I know. And I'm tired of it. And I'm talking to Jesus about it. And he said to me this week, he said, Chris, you keep talking to me about this. When are you going to hand it over to me? When are you going to really let it go and let me work in it and not worry what you think you have to do to change it? When are you going to trust me with these heavy weights? I said, cast your cares on me. I didn't say describe them to me so I'm adequately informed, right? That's the new yoke, though. It's learning to really say, I trust you, Jesus, to take these things and to bring the things that you want into my life. And I trust you to walk in them, right? I don't know why different seasons come upon various ones of us. I don't know why cancer lands on some of your households and not others. I don't know why some of your children walk with the Lord and some of you don't, because when I hear about the way that you raised them, it's a mystery to me why they walked away. But I know this, no matter what burden comes into your life, Jesus says you don't have to carry it alone. That he is with you. And he says, my burden is freeing you from these burdens. The way I'm trying to walk with you is easy because you're not doing it on your own, because it's not the world's burden. And so he says you have to be renewed. You have to experience the newness of truth in Christ in your minds, daily seeking after that truth. What truths have washed over you daily in this season? I mean, just really think about it. One of the things that we did this summer on our sabbatical is we took a sabbatical from world events and news. Now, I don't think that that's always healthy, but I just said to Raylene, and Raylene really agreed, or maybe she brought it up, I can't remember, but it was, we don't want to be shaped by the news cycle. We don't want to be shaped by the talking heads and the pundits and what they think is happening in the world. We want to be following Jesus in this short season of renewal. And we want to listen to him. And as we've come back and as I've clicked in, I've realized, like, man, that news cycle is a yoke. Like, I could go to that and that can tell me how to live and what to be afraid of and what to pray for and how I should be thinking right now. It's not that I'm not supposed to be informed or to care. It's a way of communicating and knowing how the people around me are being laden with heavy burdens. But Jesus said, that's not your news today. I have better news for you than that. It's not new news, but it renews you as you think about it and that your mind and your heart dwell in it. That you remember that the King of Glory stepped out of eternal glory onto this earth and took on your sin and your brokenness so that you would have life in him and have life abundantly, so that you would be able to live in his glory and his love and his goodness for you, so that your heart could be satisfied in him. That's the news and that's the newness that you get to walk in every day. Amen. And you want to walk with Jesus. Paul says, you have not learned Christ in the way of your oldness, but you're learning Christ in the way of your newness. Now, how many of you are good learners? Some of you are. I love that you're good learners. In fact, I love that this church has a history of good learning. That you guys come hungry for the Word on Sunday. That so many of you study the Word daily in your lives and you meditate on it and you think about it. Because as you do that, you're learning from Jesus. And that's what Paul says is necessary for your renewal, that you would become a disciple of Jesus. That you would say, Jesus, I want to learn from you. I mean, that's really what transformed Josh's life, right? He said, I had it with everything else. And so I was in my hotel room and I realized that even though I was financially okay, that I was broke. That everything I owned could fit into a mattress or a comforter bag, right? That he was just like, God, this is worthless. If you're there, I need you. And I need to learn a new way. And maybe you're there today, or maybe you're just being reminded today that you're being invited into this process of renewal. God wants to take you, and what does he want this to do in you? Oh yeah, verse 24. So that you would clothe yourself. That's what put on means. So you would get dressed with the new self. The one created according to God's likeness in righteousness and purity of the truth. Wow. Jesus is saying, every day, I want to clothe you in my beauty, in my truth, in my righteousness. I want to place my newness on you. How many of you like looking good when you go to the store, you go out in public? Yeah, all right, good. I see a lot of ladies like, duh, guys, I'm watching you. You comb your hair, right? I've met guys who don't care. They look like Albert Einstein, you know? They got that like going on. You all brush your teeth, you comb your hair, you dress yourselves well. You're not well-dressed unless you're putting on Jesus every day, because you're just wearing the old robes of the world. And Paul is inviting you to put on new robes, new clothes every day. He's saying, learn from Jesus how to dress yourself. Yeah, you look nice on the outside, but what if you put on love? What if you put on mercy and hospitality? What if you take off hatred towards the world and put on the spirit of Jesus towards the world? What if you put off disappointment with yourself or your spouse or your kids and you put on hope and future glory in Jesus for yourself and them? What if you take off apathy? I'm just done. Those people are so screwed up. I'm so tired of the news. I'm so tired of COVID. I'm so tired of the government. And you put on patience and endurance and humble service to the people around you by putting their needs before your own needs. This is what Jesus is calling us to do as we put on this new yoke. Because these things, when we devote ourselves to this new life, you know what? There's new fruit. And that new fruit is a spiritual feast for yourself and the people around you. When you start to look at your life and you go, man, God is so good. God is so good. How could I prepare myself for these blessings, right? And I'm going to use another little piece from Josh's story. I'm going to embarrass my in-laws. But honestly, I have walked with these people for over 20 years. And the first thing I thought when I encountered them is, how has the love of Jesus made them so good? How can I be like they could be? Because I came to visit this girl who I liked and I thought I loved, and they welcomed me into their home for like a week. And they talked to me about the Lord, and they talked to me about my life, and they prayed for me by name, and then they said, what's going on in your life? My mother-in-law one morning, future mother-in-law then, said, I'm going to pray for you every day, Chris. And she wrote my name down on her prayer card, and she wrote my studies down in college, and she followed up with me on these things. And it's because she was listening to the Lord. And I've seen these two serve others and walk in the newness of life. So that Josh says, man, I didn't have a home, and Leo got me a home within 48 hours. I didn't know where I was going to live, and he gave me a place to live. What could be more like Jesus than that? It's a spiritual feast for him, and it's a spiritual spectacle for me to behold. Your lives and my life can be the same. When we say, Jesus, I want to walk in this newness of life. If you want to learn the new yoke, the fruitful yoke, the free and light yoke of Jesus, you got to take off the old yokes. You got to cast them aside. You got to eliminate the deceit from your life. And then you got to learn this new way each day from Jesus. You know what he says? He says, I'll give you rest. You'll learn my humble and gentle heart. I will make the inner life of you shine like the dawn, and I will bring fruit to your life and to the world through you. How many of you want that life? And I'm with you there. Let's pray. Father, as we look at this invitation of Jesus, I just rejoice that you are so good to us and so kind. I pray, Father, that you would be leading us to spiritual renewal each day. Father, help us to take off these old yokes, these patterns that we have learned from the world, from our bosses, from our parents, from ourselves, that lead to nothing but destruction and harm, even when they feel good. That you would help us to cast them off, to take them out like yesterday's garbage. And Father, help us to be committed to learning from Jesus, to being renewed in the spirit of our minds, so that we might live in a state of spiritual newness, with fresh hope, with fresh love, with fresh patience every day. And Father, would you help us to clothe ourselves with Christ, to walk in his being, to be well as he is well, and to do well as he is well, so that our lives are full of your fruit and your goodness. Lord, satisfy our hearts in our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.